You may have your seats. Glory to God. So who wants to get our text, Matthew 5:29? Anton, Matthew 5:29. On the spot. Glory to God. Matthew 5:27-28. Mark 27-28. Matthew 15:17-19. Andrea? Yeah, 15:17-19. Told you sometimes my Spanglish gets mixed in with my English and Spanish. And Titus 2:11-12. Who wants to get that? Maribel? Amen. Thank you for volunteering. Glory to God. Amen. So let's go ahead and get our text, Matthew 5:29.
Matthew 5:29. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell.
So listen to what the Message Bible says. Let's not pretend this is easier than it really is. If you want to live a morally pure life, here is what you have to do. You have to blind your right eye the moment you catch it in a lustful leer. You have to choose to live one-eyed or else be dumped on a moral trash pile. How many know that the Amplified Version says that it is remove yourself from the source of temptation? The Easy Reading Bible says, if your right eye leads you to the wrong things. Week 6 of our Sunday school is plucking out your right eye. This here is part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is trying to teach about the issues of the heart. Not just an outwardly behavior. Because too many times what we do is we focus on the outward but don't see the inward. And how many know that this body is more than just an outside shell? You know, we do everything. We grow our muscles. Well, in my case, we lose muscles. We do everything. Rogaine for the hair. Put makeup. You know, I tell my wife, I said, baby girl, you don't need makeup. You're beautiful. Young man, you ought to be able to learn from that, because that'll give you points. Older man, you might learn also. Not older men, but more mature. See, Jesus was trying to teach them that there's something deeper inside of us that's more than working on our outside. Matthew 5:27-28. Or Matthew 5:27-28.
Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart.
See, it was profound, because to a man, it's always been said, as long as I don't touch, it's okay, right? As long as I can see, but as long as I don't touch it, then I'm fine. But Jesus goes deeper. And here it is, Jesus is teaching, and he's saying, if you look at her and you lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Huh? You've already committed it. You've already done it. You know the saying, there's a lot of fish in the sea. But how many know that there's only one catch? Right? So when, there's also another saying, if God didn't want me to look, then why did God make them so beautiful? See, lust in the heart is already adultery before God. The Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, all they kept focus on was, let me just keep the law. Everything that was before the law, as long as I kept it, if it said, do not do this and I don't do it, then I must be right. But how many know that there's more, there's an underlying message to many of the things that we do. But all we want to do is, just like when we're driving and it says yield, well, I slowed down, I yielded. But did you yield to the incoming traffic? No, that's why you crashed. But we yielded, right? We slowed down enough, and then and when the police officer comes, officer, I yielded. I did everything that I was supposed to do, but yet we caused the accident. See, outwardly, see that they wanted to keep the laws outwardly, but Jesus was trying to show them that there was an inward, internal sin, because God looks at our heart to be right. God is looking at our heart. Ask yourself this morning, how is my heart? Or am I just trying to do everything right by the book? Because if I'm just trying to do everything right by the book, I'm going to miss some details. And because I'm going to miss some details, there's some things that are going to be overlooked. And Jesus here is trying to tell them, listen, it's more than just if your right eye causes. It's an inward dilemma. See, this offended. The word offend means to stumble, to trap, or to lead into sin. What Jesus here is trying to, what he is saying is that if someone in your life is causing you repeatedly to sin, it must be dealt immediately. No hesitation. How many have ever gone and said, I know if I continually hang out with such and such person, and As long as I don't talk like them, act like them, be like them, then I'm okay around them, right? But yet, little by little, little things are slipping out. Psht. Right? Words that, listen, I haven't repeated some of the words that I used to speak before I gave my life to Christ. But if I, and it's my family, God help them. If I go around my family and they begin to talk, all those words will get back from the database that was back before the Macintosh was built. Amen. And it just comes up at the forefront of my life. And I'm like, what in the world? I didn't even know that word existed anymore. But yet it's still there and it's hitting me. And I'm like, Maribel, we can't be around my family. Not too much. Let's go. Anybody have any comments? Any input? I know somebody does. Anybody want to say anything? Anton?
That's why I was kind of talking to my wife at one point. I think yesterday, it's what you hang out with and what you've been feeding in your mind. It's like, for example, like some music, even just listening to podcasts, you know. And slowly, like once you're into your words, and God will help you put away all the certain friends that you used to hang out with too, and whatever it is, and just be praying and into your words all the time. That's it.
Anybody else? Anybody? See, if somebody is causing you, you got to deal with it. See, I was, as I was reading the hard sayings of Jesus, in that, in that book, it said that there were people that were taking it as a literal interpretation. If that was the case, you would have a lot of people walking around blindly with one eye. Right? Because people were plucking out their eye because it was causing them to sin. So they were walking around with one eye or no eyes. See, this is not what Jesus is talking about, is not to physically harm you, but to take it serious in a spiritual manner. Go ahead. Matthew 15, 17 through 19.
Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. And this defiles a person. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander.
Imagine this. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witnesses, and blasphemy. You know, as I was in reading that book, it said blind people could still lust even though they could not see. They don't have an eye. They don't have, but yet they're still able to lust. See, Jesus does not want self-mutilation. If I do this, you know, coming up is the Holy Week. And in my hometown, and in many of towns in Mexico, they have up on the mountains or on a mountainous area or on a hill area, they have a cross. And their idea of trying to get close to God is, if I can only self-mutilate myself, then I'll be closer to God. So on the cross where it's right, so as we're looking at the town right here, right behind it is a little hill, mountain, a little mountainous area as it goes up. But at the beginning, it's called the Cucuruchu. And there they have a cross. So going up to it, they have a little trail that's able to get you to the top. And what people will do during the Holy Week is they will go up on their knees. They get mutilated, bloodied. They think, if I do this, if I physically harm myself like Jesus harmed himself upon the cross, then I must be closer to him. See, Jesus doesn't want self-mutilation. Sin is dangerous because of the origin. See, and Jesus is talking about the origin, the source or the root cause of why our lives are in that manner. If we just deal, Jesus is saying, if we just deal with the outside, but the inside is not dealt with, it hasn't been resolved. Anybody has anything before we continue? Anybody? Anton, you got something? You got something? I saw your hand move. I'm telling you. You move your hand, I'm like, whoa.
I mean, at one point in my life, this is one of things I've been, I was struggling at one point, like lust, you know, women. You know, I tried everything to avoid it. I tried to stay away from females as much as I can. Or I look for a company that's just all men, but at the same time, those things will follow if you haven't seek God for guidance and give strength to overcome this thing, get delivered from. Because at the end of the day, like if you work with men, mostly men who's not saved, they talk about all these things, sexually and everything, whatever it is. For me now, it kind of helps me to, you know, just constantly just speaking to God, judging every thought, everything you see, you know, trying not to get the second glance and whatever is going on in this head, mindset, whatever it is. I don't know. For my own opinion, this has been working for me. Prayers too, you know. Sometimes if I'm driving in my truck right now or whatever, the company truck, I'm just been speaking in tongues, just talking to God, you know, that's everything. And then I'm pretty sure my boss has been listening to everything I've been praying about because they have a camera in my in the truck.
Hallelujah. Father, I pray for my boss. I pray he would get saved in the name of Jesus. Amen. But see, sin is dangerous because of the origin. And what Jesus is talking about is don't just go after the outside, the external. But there's something down deep inside of our lives that's causing us to continually go down that road that leads us to the same path, which is destruction. See, Jesus was, by him saying this, it's something that they had never heard before. Because the ideal of men, and even when I was not saved, I can see, but as long as I don't touch, I'm going to be okay. As long as I don't touch it, My wife can't sell me nothing. But see, Jesus is dealing with a situation that went deeper. How many know that Jesus doesn't just deal with the external? He deals with the internal issues. Those things that cause us to continually go down that rabbit hole. See, he is telling you and I to remove anything that is feeding sin. That is encouraging temptation. And that continually dents our armor. What is weakening your armor? What is feeding sin into your life? What is encouraging temptation? You know, unfortunately, technology has helped revolutionize our world, but the media choices that we dig into are possibly not healthy or good for us. Just saying. The relationships that we have that probably need to be cut. But we say things like, but Pastor, if I'm not there, when are they going to get saved? You know, I've had to make very hard choices in my life where I've had to cut relationships because it really wasn't healthy for me.
It's just like, you know, you have to consecrate yourself daily, you know, like you say. Just because that person doesn't mean I have to put myself in that position to do the same thing. You know, just because no matter how much you clean your toilet, you're not going to drink from that. You're not. So you're I know Mark cleans a great toilet. He's awesome at it. But I'm not going to go and drink. Like, what are you consuming throughout your daily, you know, life? You know, it's you reap what you sow. If you're sowing into it, you're going to become it. So,
and unfortunately, folks, listen to me. The choices that we make, ask yourself that. Listen, we have to continually ask ourselves, are these things feeding sin into my life? Are they encouraging temptation thoughts? The access that I have. The choices of my entertainment. The habits that I haven't broken. Because how many know that unbroken habits will lead us back to first or step one? They really will, folks. Ask yourself these things. If they are pulling me towards sin, if they are pulling me towards sin, is it healthy or not? Am I going to keep it or not? Because can I tell you, I'm not the moral police. All I can do and all I'm here to do is just warn you of what might be the consequences of things, but you're going to have to make up your own decisions. And when we are there and we decide, I'm going to keep these things, ask yourself, is it drawing me or pulling me away from Christ? Any comments? Because we're going to get ready to close in a little bit. Anybody? Go ahead, Mark.
I was just thinking that I guess it brings for me new meaning to where David said, create in me a clean heart. So I'm just thinking through all this, God has to do the work. We have to be willing to allow, I guess, God to come into us and do the work to create in us a heart that desires not the things of our flesh, which we would naturally desire, but the things of God and the things that God wants us to desire.
Yeah. Because, keep the mic, how many times does your flesh say, feed me?
Every day. Even sometimes when I'm sitting in church, unfortunately.
Yeah. And, so with that, you know, we have to be able to say no. We have to be able to say no to sin. We have to say no. Titus 2:11-12. Who did I give that to? Mariel?
For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age.
For it is more profitable. See, sin has consequences. To lose something temporarily is better to be destroyed eternally. We always have to ask ourselves this question. Is it worth me compromising? You know, the other day, I go through Platt and Murray every single day. And I don't know how many times. I probably got that whole street memorized. But the other day, there were two things. There was a skunk in the middle of the road. And I seen it, and already I said to myself, it's coming up. So I already knew where it was. So in my mind, I said, I better move over. But you know, I didn't do it, even though I knew it. And guess what I got? I got a whiff of skunk, right? And it was nasty. But another thing that happens there on Murray is that it has that light and that camera. And can I tell you, the other day, that camera, the last thing I want to do is get a ticket. I pay my taxes, and we do everything else, but I don't want to pay the city any more money than I have to, right? And when that camera, the light, just it gives you the warning, the warning before the warning. So it tells you that the light was about to turn red, and I said, man, I don't want to get a ticket. I said, I don't know how much this ticket's gonna be, and I don't want to find out, right? I said, I don't want to find out how much this ticket's going to be. So every time now when I see that warning, how you got that warning light before you get to the light, as soon as I see it, I start slowing down. That's how sin is for our lives. As soon as we see it, we ought to say, you know what? I better stop. I better stop. Because all it takes is, Jesus is saying, all it takes is one more glance and you're done. You're caught, you're sunk, and now you're going to be put in somebody's plate just like a fish. Right? Because Jesus is telling, listen, Jesus is telling us, and here in Titus, hell is mentioned not to scare us, but hell is mentioned to warn us. Warn us about what? About the consequences of our actions. That our actions really do have heavy consequences. And we have to be able to see. Anybody has any comments before we close?
This is going to be a quick one. It's for sure, you know, sometimes we think that we could be slick with everything we do behind the closet, but we think that we control sin, but actually sin could control you, you know, if you let it, you know.
See, sin is not going to, once we get into it, because we compromise, right? We say things like, it's not going to really harm me. It won't harm you. It'll kill you. It'll destroy you. It'll take you away from the destiny that God has for your life. Cause a greater harm. Cause, if you're married, divorce. It can lead you down a place of destruction. Because we did not heed the warning, we ignored it. That's all I have. Service at 11.